Let's get right to that claim by North Korea that it's tested a hydrogen bomb, a bomb far more powerful and portable than other types of nuclear bombs. The UN Security Council held an emergency meeting in New York today to take up the announcement.
And let's bring in Christopher Hill, who served as Assistant Secretary of State for East Asia and Pacific Affairs and led the U.S. delegation to the six-party talks on the North Korean nuclear issue. He's with us. Ambassador, welcome. And what's your reaction to this claim by North Korea?
Well, there's a lot of bad news in the world, and this sure added to it. I mean, this is really a sign that whatever the Chinese thought they had going with the North Koreans in recent months, that is, the Chinese were a little nicer to them, and I think they had hoped the North Koreans wouldn't test. Well, that's over. The real problem is, what are we going to do about this? And certainly there's an issue about whether it's a hydrogen weapon or not. Hydrogen would be bigger, more powerful, but miniaturized such that they could put it on a missile. I'm not sure that's so important now, because I think it's what's clear is that they are continuing their nuclear program, and sooner or later they're going to succeed.
But why would they do this right now? If indeed this was a test of a hydrogen bomb, why would they do that now?
I don't think it's, rattling the spoon on the high chair and asking for attention. I think it has to do with their internal schedule of tests. I think they are proceeding with a nuclear program, and to the extent that they take into account other developments in the world, it may be that, most of the bandwidth is taken up with the Middle East these days.
And are they building this nuclear program just as a deterrent, or do they want to use it at some point?
Well, opinions differ, but in my view, it's not so much use it as it is to threaten people with it. So I don't think they are expecting to be attacked and therefore need a nuclear deterrence, nor do I think they're about to bomb anybody. But I do believe that they see this as a real shortcut to big power status and in a way sort of lapping the rest of the field in East Asia. And by the way, that presents challenges for us, because the United States needs to make sure that countries like Japan and South Korea feel that they are safe within the U.S. nuclear umbrella. Otherwise, they might be tempted to have their own nuclear program.
Now, this test literally reverberated in northeastern China, where tremors were felt, schools were evacuated. How should China respond to this?
Well, again, the Chinese felt they had some kind of deal with them. Obviously, it wasn't a deal to get back to talks and to get back to talks on the basis of getting rid of their nuclear program, but it appeared to have been a deal not to test. So this is a real slap in the face to the Chinese. They're obviously going to be furious at the North Koreans for this. But, I think we have had a tough time sort of managing our dialogue with China. We have so many problems with China. I think we've had a tough time kind of laying out what the real priorities are. And I hope this will be a clarifying moment where we can really say to the Chinese, look, let's really focus on what we're going to do here and try to get some cooperation from them. By the way, the same with the Russians. I mean, we have a lot of problems with the Russians right now, but one would hope that this is one where we can agree on.
What can we expect from the UN? The Security Council had a meeting this morning, but will they be able to do anything that will stop North Korea from continuing on this path?
To the latter question, I don't think they can. I don't really see them, there may be some additional sanctions package. You can always find an additional sanctions package. But I'm not sure the UN in and of itself will be able to get much done on this issue. I think it really depends on some of the PERM 5 members, namely the U.S., Russia, and China, and maybe the British and the French as well.
Of course, this happens just a few weeks before the Iowa caucuses. This is big political season in the U.S. There's certain to be a lot of rhetoric thrown around by the candidates about this. As a former ambassador, as a former leader of the delegation to the six-party talks on this issue, what would you say to the candidates about their language involving this issue?
I have this very quaint notion that politics should stop at the water's edge and that we ought to find areas that unite us and present a kind of united front in dealing with some of these crises. But that is quite a dated phenomena. So I think instead we're going to see a lot of candidates really slamming the administration for its policy of so-called strategic patience. At the same time, I don't think anyone has any brilliant ideas here except to be tough. And frankly, I think if you look at our overall policy to North Korea, I think we have been very tough for many years. So I'd like like to see some effort to say, look, the United States needs to work closely with China. We need to set this as a priority with China. We need to embrace our allies in the region and stay focused on this issue. But I suspect it'll be much more ad hominem than that.
That's Christopher Hill, a former U.S. ambassador to South Korea, also former assistant secretary for East Asia Pacific. He led the delegation to the six-party talks on the North Korean nuclear issue, and now he's dean of the School of International Studies at the University of Denver. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.